Welcome to a deep dive, you guys, into the story behind Interop's ShowNet. We're going to uncover a fascinating piece of internet history, and trust me, it's way more exciting than it sounds. We'll be pulling from an upcoming article in the Internet Protocol Journal, so you're getting a sneak peek at some really cool research. Before the internet was what it is today, different computer systems really struggled to like talk to each other. Imagine a world where like sending an email or sharing a file between different devices was almost impossible. That's the problem that Interop and its ShowNet set out to solve.
Yeah, it's true. Back then, proprietary networks were like the norm. Each company had their own system. And they weren't really into the whole like sharing thing.
It's no sharing. What a pain.
Exactly. And that's where this idea of interoperability comes in, this push to make sure that different systems could just communicate. It seems obvious now, but back then it was a totally radical concept.
It's incredible how much we take for granted these days. So let's rewind to the late 1980s. Set the scene for us. What was happening in the tech world?
Well, the internet as we know it was still like in its infancy, mostly confined to universities and research labs. Most tech events were all about companies promoting their own like closed systems.
Mm.
But a shift was starting. In 1986, something called the TCP/IP Vendors Workshop popped up, and it kind of hinted at these changes to come. This wasn't about proprietary systems anymore. It was about open protocols, the foundation of a truly interconnected internet.
The seeds of a revolution. And that's where our main man, Dan Lynch, the founder of Interop, enters the picture right now.
Exactly. Lynch had this incredible vision. He saw beyond all the technical stuff and recognized the internet's potential to connect people and businesses in ways that nobody had ever even thought of before.
He was like, this whole internet thing, it's going to be huge.
Basically. He said there are millions of PCs out there, and they're starting to get networked in meaningful ways, not just in little printer sharing networks. He knew this wasn't a fad. It was the future.
So how did this vision turn into Interop and the ShowNet?
So in 1988, the first Interop event took place in Santa Clara, California, and it was completely groundbreaking. Imagine like 51 exhibitors all linked together through this massive network. They called it the ShowNet. They had T1 lines, which were a big deal back then, stretching all the way to NASA and the NSFNet, a precursor to the modern internet.
That's a pretty bold move. Connecting all these different companies' systems live in front of an audience, what could go wrong, right?
That's the spirit of ShowNet. But you're right, it was a gamble. What made Interop different was its three-part structure. Like internet pioneer Dave Crocker said, you had the ShowNet this live demo of interoperability. But it wasn't just about showing off. Interop also had tutorials led by the engineers who were writing the rule book for the internet.
So it was like a crash course in how to internet taught by the people building it.
Exactly. And then you had the NOC team, the Network Operations Center, the unsung heroes working behind the scenes to keep everything running smoothly.
It sounds like Interop was more than just a conference. It was like this meeting of the minds, a place where collaboration and knowledge sharing were key.
You got it. It wasn't about competition. It was about working together to push the limits of what was possible with this new technology. And that's what made the ShowNet so special. It wasn't just a demo. It was a testing ground, a crucible, where the future of the internet was being forged in real time.
So let's dive into that crucible. The late 1980s and early 1990s are considered the golden age of ShowNet, a time when it truly helped shape the internet. But I'm guessing it wasn't all smooth sailing, right? Building this massive network with untested technology, I can only imagine the challenges.
You're telling me. Just wait till you hear about the near disaster with the scissor lift and the union break. Picture this. You're trying to build this cutting-edge network. But the convention centers themselves are practically from the Stone Age, at least when it comes to technology.
Talk about a nightmare for a cable organizer. I can barely keep my own headphones from getting tangled.
It was a whole other level back then. Peter DeVries, one of the early ShowNet builders, talked about having to thread these thick Ethernet cables through any opening they could find, even expansion joints. They were making it up as they went along.
There had to be some close calls. Did everything always go according to plan?
Not a chance. There's this story about a near disaster involving a scissor lift and a mandatory union break. Imagine this. The team's hoisting this massive bundle of cables when suddenly the air horn blares, signaling break time. The lift operators had to lower the cables before securing them, and chaos broke out. Cables snapping, glass fiber shattering. It was a miracle nobody got hurt.
Wow, that's a disaster averted. It sounds like the ShowNet wasn't just pushing the boundaries of technology, but also the limits of human ingenuity and caffeine consumption. But it wasn't just the physical construction that was a challenge, right?
Absolutely not. Remember, this was all cutting-edge stuff. New hardware experimental protocols. It was a recipe for both breakthroughs. And let's be honest, the occasional meltdown.
Oh, I bet those meltdowns were legendary. Can you give us an example?
One that comes to mind is the Cisco router bug. They were running a new version of BSD Unix. And there was this faulty TCP/IP command that ended up crashing the entire ShowNet.
Talk about pressure. What did they do?
It took some serious debugging skills and quick thinking. But they managed to isolate the problem and get things back online. Just goes to show the ingenuity of those early internet pioneers.
They were making history one bug fix at a time. It really highlights how crucial the ShowNet was as a real-time testing ground. If something went wrong, well, everyone knew it, and they had to figure out a solution fast. Were there any other close calls?
Oh, plenty. One that I particularly remember involved FDDI, which, by the way, stands for Fiber Distributed Data Interface. It was this super fast fiber optic network technology that was all the rage.
Okay. FDDI, what happened?
Well, during one show, the FDDI network just melted down. Turns out there was this obscure bug that required a very specific reset procedure. It took some serious head scratching to figure out the solution. But that's the thing about the ShowNet. It wasn't just about showcasing what worked. It was about uncovering the flaws and finding ways to make things better.
It was like a public debugging session for the entire internet.
You could say that. But it was also a testament to the dedication and camaraderie of the people involved. These weren't just engineers. They were pioneers, united by this shared passion for building a better, more connected future.
They sound like my kind of people, the ones who thrive on a challenge, especially if it involves caffeine and late-night troubleshooting. What motivated these volunteers to dedicate so much time and energy to the ShowNet?
That's a great question, and I think it speaks to the spirit of the early internet. These volunteers, they weren't in it for the fame or the fortune. They believed in the power of technology to change the world. They were driven by curiosity, by a desire to learn and share their knowledge.
It was a different time. No social media, no venture capitalists breathing down their necks, just a bunch of passionate people huddled over keyboards trying to make the impossible happen.
Exactly. And they succeeded. Through their hard work, the ShowNet helped lay the foundation for the internet we know and love today. But as you know, the internet never stands still. And neither did Interop.
So how did the ShowNet evolve alongside the internet's rapid growth? Did it keep pace?
It did in its own way. As we move into the mid-1990s, we see the internet and the ShowNet both entering a new phase. TCP/IP was becoming the standard the World Wide Web was taking off, and commercialization was in full swing. This is where things really start to heat up. So as I was saying, this is where things really start to heat up. You see, as the internet took off, even competing trade shows started offering internet access. It was becoming a standard thing. Interop, which was once this trailblazer, was now facing a new challenge, staying ahead of the curve.
It's that classic innovator's dilemma. How do you stay relevant when everyone else is caught up to your big idea?
Exactly. And Interop's answer was to adapt. The ShowNet itself split into two different things, InteropNet and InteropNet Labs. InteropNet became the reliable backbone. It connected exhibitors to the outside world. Think of it like the solid foundation that everything else could be built on. InteropNet Labs, on the other hand, that's where things got really interesting.
Okay, I'm intrigued. Tell me more about InteropNet Labs. What kind of cutting-edge stuff were they experimenting with?
InteropNet Labs became the testing ground for new technologies, the kind of stuff that was considered risky or experimental. It was the place where engineers could really push the boundaries, without having to worry about crashing the entire show or even a big part of the internet.
So the Wild West of networking innovation had a new home. Did anything particularly memorable happen during this period?
Well, absolutely. Let's talk about Interop Atlanta in 2001. It was right after 9/11. The world was in shock. Air travel was grounded. People were desperate for information. The ShowNet, with its really strong connectivity, became a lifeline. It allowed attendees to connect with family and friends and get important updates.
That's powerful. In such a scary and uncertain time, the ShowNet provided a vital link to the outside world. It really shows how resilient and adaptable the network they built really was.
It does. And it wasn't just about resilience in the face of tragedy. The ShowNet also had to deal with more malicious threats.
You're talking about the slammer worm attack of 2003, right? I remember reading about that. It brought a huge chunk of the internet down.
It did. And Interop ShowNet was right there in the line of fire.
Nope.
The slammer worm spread incredibly quickly. It exploited this vulnerability in Microsoft SQL Server software.
So what happened at Interop? Did the ShowNet go down?
It was a close one. The worm caused enough problems to basically cripple most of their monitoring systems. They were basically flying blind. They couldn't see what was happening on their own network.
That sounds terrifying. What did they do?
The NOC team, true to form, jumped into action. They somehow managed to isolate the problem and set up filters to block the bad traffic. It was a remarkable display of technical skill and quick thinking. They were up and running again within hours. Just goes to show the dedication and expertise of everyone involved.
It's amazing how these real-world events, both tragic and malicious, really tested the ShowNet, and in a way pushed it to innovate even further. But I understand InterOps' influence wasn't limited to North America.
You're right. While most InterOp events eventually stopped happening, InterOp Tokyo has not only continued but thrived.
Why Japan? What was different about their tech scene?
Japan has always had this unique relationship with technology. They embrace new ideas, but they also have this strong focus on quality and making sure things work. InterOp Tokyo really tapped into this. It became the place to be for showcasing the latest networking technologies.
Like what kind of innovations? Give me some examples.
Well, in 2019, InterOp Tokyo played a key role in demonstrating IPv6 segment routing. This technology is helping to shape the future of the internet by making it more efficient and scalable. And the 2024 show was no different. It showcased some really cutting-edge stuff. Imagine streaming live video to multiple broadcast stations at the same time, all over IP networks. That's the future of broadcasting. And InterOp Tokyo was right there, leading the way, making it a reality.
So InterOp Tokyo kept pushing the boundaries of networking. It's interesting, though, how their focus shifted a bit. It went from this kind of like scrappy, can-do attitude of the early ShowNets to something much bigger and more elaborate, almost like a well-oiled machine.
Yeah, you're right. It's like they took the spirit of innovation from those early days and combined it with Japan's reputation for precision and attention to detail.
And remember how we were talking about IPv6 segment routing? Well, InterOp Tokyo played a major role in showing how powerful that technology could be. They built this incredibly complex network spanning multiple data centers, all running on IPv6 segment routing. It was a huge undertaking.
It really was a testament to their technical skills. And it wasn't just about showing off. They used that network to demonstrate some amazing applications like live 8K video streaming.
Wow, 8K video streaming. That's serious bandwidth.
Yeah, and they were doing it all with super low latency.
It's mind-blowing how far things have come since those early days of the ShowNet.
It really is. And you know what's even more impressive? InterOp Tokyo isn't just about showcasing established technologies. They're also looking ahead to the future.
What do you mean?
Well, they've been doing a lot of work with things like intent-based networking and network automation.
Those are some pretty big buzzwords.
They are. But they're also really important for the future of networking. We're talking about networks that can basically configure and optimize themselves without any human intervention.
That sounds both amazing and a little bit terrifying.
I know, right? But that's the thing about technology. It's always pushing us forward into uncharted territory.
It makes you wonder what the next ShowNet will look like. What kind of crazy technologies will we be talking about in 10 or 20 years from now?
I have no idea. But I'm sure it'll be mind-blowing.
I think that's a perfect place to leave it. This journey through the history of InterOp ShowNet has been incredible.
I agree.
It's a reminder that the internet isn't just about wires and protocols. It's about people. People with the passion and the drive to connect the world and explore the unknown. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. Be sure to check out the show notes for more information about InterOp and the incredible legacy of the ShowNet. Until next time.